Let me pray real quick before we get started, and then I want to briefly, if you weren't here last night, I'll just say a couple quick things about that message, and then we'll jump into really part two and where we're going in this message, and then I will give you a little preview of where we're going to go in the 11 o'clock message, should you choose or should you have the time to stay for that message as well. It'll be totally different. It'll be kind of a continuation, and then going on into how we're going to conclude things tonight. Right here in this room as well. So let me pray real quick and just ask God to be with us. Father, we know you're here. We know that you are stirring hearts. We know that you're always working. You're always moving and searching and calling and drawing people. And I thank you. Lord, I said last night, I remember when you sought me and you bought me. I remember the day. Almost like it was just yesterday, I can see where I was in that room when hope began to arise in me that if I would place my trust in you and if I would surrender to you, everything would work out in a way that you have planned, and that is good. So, Lord, I thank you for all that. I thank you for what you're going to do through your word this morning. No one has shown up here to hear me. They've shown up here to hear you, and I've tried to connect with you. I've tried to be faithful to look at your word, and I pray that as we share together, God's people would hear God speak, and it would be honoring to God. That's our plan. Lord Jesus, intercede for us at the right hand of the Father right now as we try to learn and understand more about your great glory and your great mission. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so last night, if you were not here last night, that's okay, but you missed a great time. We had a lot of fun. I had fun. I hope those who were here did too. It was tremendous for me. I went home very, very full, just fulfilled, just blessed by God. So many people, so many hugs, so many memories, just wonderful. So thank you for those who were here last night. If you were not here last night, we said that going global is about going to all the people God has created and telling them that he loves them and he has a plan to save them. That's what going global is about. Going global is kind of the theme for our weekend. That's what we want to do. We have a God who's concerned about going global. He says it in John 3:16. I shared last night, I've never done a message on John 3:16. It was crazy. I don't know why. Just a text I never chose. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. He loves the world so much that he responded in a way. And we're asking you this weekend, as you hear God move in your heart, we're asking you to respond and we're giving you opportunities to respond. You have things like the World Vision tent, the refugee tent back here that they have so graciously come and set up. They're working with the refugees, the displaced people in the Middle East, especially right now. And you need to go back there and pay attention to that. You need to respond to what God is doing globally. He is a global God. He's concerned about everybody on the planet. And he wants his people to be that way too. So I shared from John 3:16 last night. And this morning we're going to be in Isaiah 55. So if you have a Bible or if you have electronically or however you have it, if you want to get to God's word in Isaiah 55, I will have it up here in just a second. Isaiah 55, we're going to just walk through that in somewhat of a quick fashion, but I'm going to point out that even in that Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, he was a globally concerned God. He was a God concerned about the nations even then. It didn't just start when Jesus came. It was even then. So we'll talk through that in just a second. And then tonight, in the 11 o'clock, we'll be talking about the race set before us from Hebrews 12. And then tonight, we're going to look at how missions is just messy. There's no way around it. Missions is messy. And if you think, I'll wait to get involved in missions when it won't be messy, then you won't be involved. Missions is messy. I'll talk about that tonight as we conclude the conference. So thank you for being here. Let's move forward. I will say, so I found this album cover. Bands, companies, organizations are very concerned. A lot of people want to go global these days. This band has a album title. I don't even know the name of the band. I just took the picture because I liked it. Going global, I like the little advisory down there. I like that little parental advisory. And I just want to give you a little advisory this morning. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. But I will tell you this. The things we're going to look at from God's Word and the power of God in this room and among His people and His heart of love for us. I said He sought me and bought me. See, you could even say that God, at a moment's time, He ruined my life. Because I had a life. I had a plan. I had a direction. I heard a hallelujah about that. That's awesome. He ruined my life. He did it again when I took that first mission trip. He ruined my plan. Praise God He did. So some of you just be advised. That could happen this weekend. It's my prayer that it's going to happen this weekend. Parents, I will tell you this. If you have your children in a room or a mission conference weekend, they're going to hear about a global God who has concern for every person on the planet. It may change the trajectory of their life. We hope it does. We hope young people would be raised up out of this church for many years to come who are going global, following the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 55. I'm so excited to look at this text with you this morning. Isaiah 55:1. I took this picture in India. If you have been in my office any time in the past, you would have seen this picture. It's in a frame. It's not a great picture. It's not a great quality picture. The resolution's bad. It was just a little digital camera I had years ago in India. I was in a train station, and I just kind of snuck. It was before you could, like, do the secret photo with your phone and take it over your shoulder of people, you know. It was before all that. I had, this digital camera. I just did something like this and just took that picture real quick of this guy. I've used it many times in messages. It's just this picture of there is a world that needs hope to arise. We sang that a few minutes ago. Isaiah 55:1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Our God is an inviting God. He's a globally glorious, inviting God. He says, everyone who thirsts, come. Everyone who thirsts, come. Everyone who's hungry, come. Everyone who's heavy laden, come. Everyone who's carrying a burden, come. Everyone. That's His heart. That's His heart, even in Isaiah. I love it. Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. If your soul is thirsty this morning, tune me out. If your soul is thirsty this morning, tune me out and you come to Jesus. You go to the Lord. You seek Him right now. You just pray right there in your seat. If that's what you need to do, you do that. Because when you do that, He will supply. He will be faithful. He will answer. Our God is also compassionate. We're going to look at that through Isaiah 55:1-13. I want to tell you this story. I met this guy in July. This is a brother in India. He's a pastor. He has an amazing story. Last night I shared a couple videos. Tonight, or this morning, it's more stories, two or three stories. This brother's a pastor. He's been beaten and suffered persecution 8 times. 8 times. When he was a child, he was very sickly. He said they thought he would never walk. He had a disease or something. It wasn't polio, but it was something else that was going on in his nervous system, and he couldn't walk. His grandfather was a Hindu priest. Grandfather's a Hindu priest. He's the guy that's supposed to have the answers. He's the guy that's supposed to know what God you go to. He's the guy that's supposed to know what incantation you can do, what mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus, whatever you got to do. He'll know what to do, and it'll fix it, and it didn't fix it. Said he grew up in that time. During his time growing up, they were trying everything. So they took him to Hindu holy places. They would take him to places and have special people pray over him. They would take him to festivals, Hindu holy festivals. They're happening all through the calendar of the year. They're going to these places because they wanted their son to be healed. They wanted their son to have peace. They wanted their son to have a fulfilled life. And it never happened. Never happened. His parents finally got desperate. They were not rich people. But they finally got desperate. And somebody told him, if you'll build a temple, if you'll build a little shrine, if you'll build a Hindu temple in our village, that might do the trick. You see, they needed hope to arise. So they built something similar to this. A little Hindu temple, a little shrine place to honor the gods, and that might do the trick. But guess what? It didn't. It didn't. And then he heard about Jesus. At some point, he heard about Jesus. And he trusted Christ. He said, well, I've tried everything else. I'm going to trust this Christ. And he did. And I'll just tell you, it doesn't happen all the time this way, but in India, I have found out it happens a lot this way. It may be this way in other countries, I don't know. But in India, it happens a lot this way. He placed his faith in Christ and he was healed. He started walking. Yeah. He's a healthy, normal guy right now. I mean, you know, as normal as you can be when you love Jesus and do the kind of things he does in a place like he does it. You know, we might not say, well, that's normal, but it's normal. I mean, he's awesome. I'm sitting in the room in July talking with this brother, and he shares with me, yeah, I've been through some persecution, he said, about 8 times. I'm like, 8 times? What? I mean, he's been beaten. He's been put in jail. He's been in the hospital. He's been kicked out of villages. 8 times. I said, well, you know, is there anything I can pray for you? What can I do? Is there any way I can help you? You know, I work with this organization. You know, it's the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't tell him that. We don't usually tell them the name of the organization. They just know the American church loves them, that people, God's people around the world are giving so that we can help them. That's really all we do. We're not trying to set up banners and make a lot of, we like to be behind the scenes. So I didn't tell him the name, but I just said, hey, you know, there's people who would love to help you in your situation. What could we do? And you know what he asked for? He asked for a very small little motorcycle. It's like a Honda 125 motorcycle. He said, if I could get a motorcycle, I could go to more places. I could go to more villages. And I could tell people. Right now, he's working in about 12 villages. He's been persecuted 8 times over the years. He's working in 12 different villages, going global. He's staying in India, but he's going global. It's amazing. I mean, this brother blew me away. So praise the Lord, through all the donations that people give to Voice of the Martyrs, we're able to help him with a motorcycle. I mean, it's like, you got it. I mean, okay. I just wanted to hug him right there. So that brother, he's out there going global. Let's look at Isaiah 55:3. I love this. And this is where my heart has been for several days. Weeks as I've been leading up to this time. Incline your ear and come to me. I have inclined my ear to the Lord. I have done what I felt like I needed to do to incline my ear to the Lord in preparation for this time, but also just in preparation for living a Christ-like life, a life that is on mission, a life that cares, a life that loves people. I've inclined my ear. I hope you'll do the same this morning. I hope you will do it even right now if you haven't done it before. Just say, Lord, I incline my ear to you right now. And I want to hear. It says that your soul may live. And I will make with you, God is saying, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you. And a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. I want to share, there are some people that are out there that are going to a nation that did not know them. They're going to nations that they don't know. And they're calling to them. And a nation is running to them. The family on the top, they are IMB missionaries. I had a chance to meet them in July as well. So I met them. They're working in a very desolate, very remote state in western India, borders Pakistan. They've been there for 9 years. 9 years they've been there. You see the number of kids they have. Their kids are growing up. They're fine. I mean, if you saw them in Walmart today or downtown wherever, you would just think, oh, a normal family. Great. They love the Lord. I was with them in that city, and they took me into their home, and we met. We talked. We're talking about some of the ministry they have going on. They are out there calling to a nation that does not know them, that they don't know, and the nation, by God's grace, is running to them. They are seeing explosive church planting growth happening. It doesn't always happen. The brother told me, he said, for 7 years, we didn't see much at all. 7 years, they didn't see much at all. He said, in the last 2 years have been incredible. We've been calling out to a nation because God told us to go and be a witness to the peoples. God told them to go be a witness to the peoples, and they went, and they had to persevere. And they're going through the nation, calling out, going through all of their obedience, following the Lord, and he's calling them. God is calling people to himself through this family. It's amazing. One of the things that's happening, they laid out on their living room floor these flip chart pieces of paper, these big pieces of paper. And first they just brought out a couple. And I thought, okay, a couple. And they've got circles of groups, new groups. You could say they're a future church. It's a potential church. All I know and all they know is that it's people who have accepted Christ and they love Jesus and they're getting together and they're talking about Jesus and they're singing about Jesus. If you want to call it a church, great. You'd be amazed at how missiologists will debate what is a church. You can laugh at that because it's funny. But you go overseas and you say, well, there's a group of Jesus lovers who are singing about Jesus and who talk about Jesus and they study Jesus' word, and there'll be people who say, well, I just don't think it's a church yet. Man, I don't know. I mean, anyway, I won't go into that. It's a little pet peeve of mine, but that's okay. It's good things happening. I mean, people are coming to faith. There's this brother that they saw who just exploded. He got the message from this guy, Glenn is his name. He and an Indian pastor would go once a month to this village. Once a month. Just going and just sharing and just teaching. And they came back one month, and this guy named Sukhdev. Sukhdev says to them, you know, since the last time you were here, I've decided to trust Jesus. And they're like, what? But we didn't, like, ask you to pray a prayer. We didn't, like, sit down with you. We didn't talk you through this whole decision. He's like, no, I just decided. It brings new meaning to the song, to the hymn. I decided to follow Jesus, you know. I've just decided. It's awesome. He said, so during that time, and he said, and before you came back, you know, so also during that month when I decided to follow Jesus, I thought, well, I'm going to go tell my neighbors about Jesus too. They didn't talk about evangelism with him yet. They just told him good news. So Sukhdev had good news. He knew his neighbors didn't have good news. So he goes to his neighbors during that month, and he's telling them good news. That's going global. That's our God's message going global. You can say amen to that. That's awesome. Yes. It's so fun. But listen to what Sukhdev also did. Sukhdev was illiterate, is illiterate. So he had to grab his 12-year-old daughter when she would come home from school. He would wait for her to finish her chores or sometimes even help her with her chores. And he would then take her to the neighbor's houses with him. And then he's telling them what he's heard from the missionary and the Indian pastor. He's telling the neighbors what he's heard those guys say. And then he looks at his 12-year-old daughter who's in school and can read. And he says, now, they talked about Hebrews, whatever, so you read that. So he's using his 12-year-old daughter to read God's word to these people who need to hear good news. Nobody told him to do it. God's spirit within him is doing it. That's what it means. He's calling to a nation that you don't know, and they're going to run to you. They're coming to him. They're coming to Jesus, but they're running to him because he's got the good news now. So this is happening. And so back to the papers on the floor. And they start pulling back papers on the floor, and it just gets bigger, and they're spreading, and they add another one over here. And they got all these circles. And they got lines going from circle to circle to circle. And they're saying, well, this group that started, that they went and shared over here. And this group over here, they thought, well, we know somebody over here, so we got to go share over here. It's going global. This other brother and his wife on the bottom picture, they're living in southern India. They've been in Sri Lanka for many years, saw fruit there, and just had to go. They're now based in southern India, and they're going to a nation, calling out. Right now, they're in that interim period where they're not seeing fruit yet. But they're being faithful. They're being faithful. Isaiah also says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. He will abundantly pardon. I tell you right now, God has abundantly pardoned me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There will come a time when people can't seek the Lord. There will come a time when he returns. Every knee will bow then, and every tongue will confess then, and his message will complete going global then. But right now, we've got to help them seek the Lord. There are those out there seeking the Lord, and we've got to be willing to go and help them while he is near. God will abundantly pardon. Let me tell you another story. This guy, look at that smile. Love this guy's smile. His name is Gowda. Gowda. Gowda lives in southern India. Gowda was a persecutor. not persecuted. He was a persecutor. His story is what we would call a Saul to Paul story. He was a member of an organization in India called the RSS. It's a Hindu extremist group. And they are kind of the militaristic faction of Hinduism. Now, some of you would say, well, wait a minute, I've studied a little Hinduism and they're peace-loving. They don't kill animals, they don't, you know, they're very peaceful, they meditate, they're not violent. That's a part of it, but there's another part. When threatened, when the way of life is threatened, even the Prime Minister of India right now, he's a member, formerly was a member of this militaristic Hindu extremist group, the RSS. Very, very violent. When threatened, they will use all means necessary to squelch God's movement going global. It's happening. This guy was a part of that. He was a persecutor. He was beating Christians. He was getting the police to come arrest Christians. He was trying to destroy people's credibility. He was falsely accusing people. Do you know what they do in India sometimes now? They will falsely accuse a pastor of things like child molestation, having adulterous affair or adulterous relationships. They will falsely accuse this brother, and the police will arrest them with absolutely no witnesses, absolutely no proof, and they will take them into custody, and then it stops the ministry. He was one of those guys. He was doing these kinds of things. And then God got a hold of him. And you know what he does now? He is our key partner in southern India right now. He is Voice of the Martyrs. I mean, just how ironic is that? God is so good. He is Voice of the Martyrs, key partner in India. And wherever we hear about persecution, who do we send? We send him. He goes. He wants to go. He says, I'll go. So we send him into places. A few weeks ago, this is a very sad story. A few weeks ago, we had a pastor killed. And I say we, our family. Our family had a pastor killed in India a few weeks ago. There were some rumors about the pastor that it actually was on a website and newspaper articles that this guy was a former pastor, that he had turned kind of a government worker and was doing some other things. And so, well, we thought, okay, he could be a Christian brother who was murdered, but was it really persecution? Was it because of his faith he was murdered? And so we needed some questions answered. It was a hot spot to go into. It was a tough place. I mean, it was a communist, Maoist, rebel territory that we were asking him to go into, and he said, I'll go. Yeah, let's go. So he took a car, got a couple pastor buddies, and they went, and they met the widow of this pastor who had just been killed. Found out, indeed, his ministry was thriving. Indeed, he was still a pastor when his life was taken. Indeed, the Maoist rebels were very upset with him because he was telling the villagers how they could be free in Jesus Christ and they didn't have to bow in fear to other people. And the Maoist rebels did not like that because they used fear to control. They'd warned him and warned him and warned him to stop, and he wouldn't stop. And so they took the pastor's life. And this guy goes in, he meets with a widow, he gets back in touch with me, and he says, man, everything is good. He said, she did ask for something if we can help her with it. And of course, I'm sitting there in my little office in Oklahoma, and I'm going, man, I mean, it's a blank check. This sister's husband just gave his life for the Lord, for his faith in a very hard place in the world. It's a blank check. What does she need? You know what she asked for? She wanted 700 Bibles. She wanted 700 Bibles so that her husband's ministry could continue. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to romanticize it. There are logistical needs that she and her children have. They need food. They needed to move because it wasn't safe for them. All that happened. But the first thing she said to this guy, I can't make this up. I'm not making this up. The first thing she says to him, we really need these Bibles because we want to make sure the ministry continues, because if it doesn't continue, then they win, and we will not let that happen. And she's grieving. She's in pain. She's not in a state of denial. She's still very heartbroken. But it's that mentality that is so hard for me to get my mind wrapped around. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why I wanted to share that story. You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. my American mindset, my American way just says, really? How? I don't get it. That's so foreign to me. I love this. We're going to conclude with this. For you shall go out in joy. Going global, that word going means we're going. It means we're doing something. We're responding. We're going to breakout sessions to learn. We're having prayer time with our children about the nations. We're doing things like that, going global. But we will go in joy. We have to go in joy. We're not going because of duty. We're not going because it's an obligation. We're not going because we feel guilty. We're going because there's great joy. And just like Brother Sukhdev, we're going because it's good news. It's good news. So for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I pray that we will be that kind of people. Now, in the next hour, when we start the next message, we're going to keep going on, and we're going to talk about the race we're running as we go out in joy, as we go out in faith. We've got to go to Hebrews if we're talking about going out in faith. And we're going to go there at 11 o'clock, whether your schedule allows it or not, I don't know, but to be continued. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for your word that tells us we are going out in joy and we will be led forth in peace. Father, thank you for the way you are working and moving this morning. I pray for the breakout sessions. Would you just continue to move and stir people to have a global vision for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So maybe you're thinking, how do I respond? How do I respond to a message like that? How do I respond to a God who globally cares about every person? The first way that you can respond today is it's by opening your mind and learning. I want to invite you to come back tonight at 6 p.m. be in that last session of this conference. I want to invite you to stick around today at 1:15. We're having lunch and a question answer session with Aaron Miller. I want to invite you to come at 11 and hear that next sermon in this series, in this missions conference. But right now, I want to invite you to forego every luxury and convenience and go to a breakout session. With your mind open, God, how are you calling me to go global? It begins by opening your mind and learning. Number two, it begins with prayer. In your conference notebook, we've got a 30-day prayer guide. I want to call you in prayer for all these ministries that our church supports and that we're behind and engage with them, and just pray. Learn, pray, and give. As you go through the refugee tent, there'll be an opportunity to support refugees. As you walk out, there are little green buckets that support families. The Family Ministry Fund of Voice the Martyrs going to support families. Didn't you wish you could be involved with that woman whose her husband was a pastor who was murdered? Didn't you wish you could stand with her? Well, you can. Give in those green buckets and support in that way. You know, your giving at this church goes to support the ministries in this book. So you can learn, you can pray, you can give. But listen, you can go. Literally go. We announced this morning already that next March, we're taking a construction trip to Zimbabwe. Maybe you're a construction person. You're like, I can't talk real good, Pastor Tom, but I can swing a hammer. If that's you, that didn't mean to be offensive, by the way. Sorry about that. But if that's you, or you're a plumber or electrician, we need you to go to Zimbabwe. You'll be working on an orphanage, on a water system for an orphanage. You'll be so blessed. For a second trip going to Zimbabwe in March to piggyback with a construction trip, working at that orphanage, putting in a solar-powered water well and doing amazing things in churches and with the orphans that are right there. In July, we're going to Taiwan and China. Come on. Oh, I heard some clapping. Yeah, all right. You can clap for that. No problem. Why not be involved with that trip and go to Taiwan, China, distributing Bibles to people in China? What an awesome day. And there'll be a medical trip for doctors, nurses, medical personnel at the end of August back to Zimbabwe. And then next fall, a trip to the Middle East, to Jordan, to work directly with refugees and with a ministry called Call Her Blessed, with women who've been assaulted and need the love of Christ. Why not? Why not learn and pray and give and go? Tom, I just need more information. Well, you know what? It's happening right now. More information and some breakout sessions. For example, as a Zimbabwe team breakout session, just go out this door, go upstairs, and there'll be Bobby Tucker waiting to greet you with a big hug. I see you back there, Bobby. Go up there and learn about Zimbabwe. Hear a testimony about that. Or maybe you want to know, what do I do, Pastor Tom? Come see me upstairs in the youth room. I'll teach you how to craft your story, your testimony, into sharing the gospel. It's going to be an amazing session. Come see me. Come with me. Learn about that. There's a breakout session called Global Minded Shopping. Will appeal to all of us. Sam Goodman leading that in the conference room right out here. You go out this door. It's right there, first door on your right. The Texas team sharing. Pastor Mark Elliott will be sharing with the Texas team. That's in the preschool room. Go back to the preschool and hear about that. If you go down the hallway, the school hallway, there's a ministry called Call of Love. How many guys are blessed by our brother that sang this morning that second song? Give him a hand if you would. He and his wife are leading a breakout session. Here's what it's about. Call of Love is to hear about God's heart for Muslims and how you can engage with the Muslim community to receive Christ. Amen. There's a Jordan team testimony down that same hallway. It's just going to be awesome. I also want to encourage you, if you don't want to do any of those breakouts or after you do, to go through the tent, the refugee tent, and see what it's like to be a refugee and just see if God would cultivate a heart for refugees within you. Take a step to learn all day today, to learn, to pray, to give, to go. That's God's call for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that you are global. And God, we just repent of any thoughts we've ever had that you just care about us, or you just care about Ohio, or you just care about Lincoln County. God, you love the world. For God so loved the world. And Father, I pray we would take that heed from our brother to know that not only, God, are you a global God, you're calling us to go global, whether going global might be crossing the street to talk to a neighbor and share a testimony, invite them to church and share the gospel, but going global is also going to the Philippines or Zimbabwe or Jordan or China or wherever, God, you might send us. We need to learn, to pray, to give, and Father, we need to go. So Father, I pray you embolden us to take those steps, beginning right now, beginning today. In your name we pray. Amen. So listen, the lights are going to come up. Come on up, lights. And I'm just going to empower you. Just go. Go right. Find a person with an orange lanyard. They will tell you where to go if you're questioning where to go. But go find a breakout session. Go do it. If you're new today, by the way, for the first time, you can go see Pastor Tevis at the information desk. He's got a gift for you. But go find a breakout session. Go to it.